this morning, let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, today we want to just read one verse that we'll look at, and that's verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's pray. Lord, bless as we look and consider this passage this morning. Lord, might we be impressed by the Spirit of God to be a grateful people. And Lord, might we heed the command that's given to us in this passage. And in everything, give thanks. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through chapter number 5, we've looked at many of the exhortations that are given to us here, many of the commands. We've looked at how verses 12 and 13 command us to know them which labor among us, and in particular talking about the preachers of the gospel or pastors, and we're to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, verse 13 says. We've noticed how verse number 14 tells us to warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Verse 15 tells us not to render evil for evil. Verse 16 tells us to rejoice evermore. And last week we looked at verse number 17, which says pray without ceasing. And so that brings us to verse number 18, which gives us another command, another exhortation, that we are in everything to give thanks. And you know, the reason God must command us to do these things is because none of them come natural. Naturally, we tend to take people for granted, don't we? Those who love us, those who labor for us, those who serve us, we many times take their efforts and their labors for granted rather than appreciating them like this chapter tells us to do. Naturally, we don't warn the unruly. Most of the times we simply talk about them behind their backs. Did you see so-and-so? Do you see the way that they're behaving? Boy, that can't lead to anything good. But most of the time we don't go to them and say, you know what? What you're doing may not be a wise idea. Naturally, we don't comfort the feeble-minded. Again, we just kind of shake our heads at them when they walk away. We're not normally patient toward all men. Normally and naturally, we're just the opposite. We're impatient toward all men. Naturally, we render evil for evil. Naturally, we complain rather than rejoice. Naturally, we neglect the area of prayer in our lives rather than praying without ceasing. So naturally, we don't do these things. Now, supernaturally, we do. And by that, I mean when God resides within us and we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost, He produces all of these behaviors in us. And it's one of the signs or one of the indications to ourselves and even to others that we are filled with the Spirit of God. When you're walking along in your life and you're not seeking revenge, when you're not complaining, and when you're not neglecting prayer, could be a sign that you're correctly yielded to the Spirit of God. But here our text gives to us another thing that doesn't come to us naturally. It tells us to be thankful. And maybe because we're so prone to be unthankful, that we have to set aside a day every year that we call Thanksgiving to remind us to be thankful. Because again, I don't think that's something that comes natural. But it is something, again, that should come supernaturally. And I want to divide this passage up into three different sections and look at it this morning, and we'll kind of do this in reverse order. Again, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And we'll focus on that last phrase, concerning you, first of all, and then we'll look at the phrase, the will of God, and then lastly we'll look at the phrase, in everything. And so we'll take our points for the message all from this one passage. And so, again, at the end or at the conclusion of this verse, it says that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And who is the you that's in view here? Well, it's the believers in Thessalonica. This is a church epistle. And as a church epistle, it is directed to a group of believers, and specifically the group of believers that assemble together in Thessalonica. And we find this when we look at chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians." It's talking to this particular assembly. And in verse number 6, if you drop down a few verses, it says that, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Again, this may seem somewhat elementary, but this explains to us that the exhortations found in chapter number 5 are to believers. They're not addressed to unsaved people. I mean, I could almost expect unsaved people most of the time, if not all the time, to be unthankful, because they never have enough. Things are never good as they would like them to be. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And so as a lost person, I would expect lost people to exhibit those types of behaviors and be unthankful. But boy, there's one group of people that should understand why we can be thankful, and that's believers. You see, unsaved people, they haven't experienced the grace and mercy of God. Not in respect to salvation, but those of us that are saved have. And therefore, we have a reason to be eternally grateful. You know, have there been instances or times in your life where you have learned a lesson that you've never forgotten? I mean, you've experienced something so significant that it altered your life at that moment and every day since. I mean, if you examine your life close enough, you'll find those types of experiences probably have happened to you. And one of those experiences should be the day that you got saved. That experience should be so special, it should be so significant, that your life has not been the same since. You know, can you imagine how Simon Peter's life was probably different after, you know, the incident of him walking on water? And I'm not just talking about the fact that he walked on water. I mean, that was pretty significant. Because the only other person I know to ever have done that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter walked on water, but yet what I'm talking about more specifically is when he began to sink. When he took his eyes off Jesus and he began looking at all the things around him, the storm, the wind, the rain, the darkness, he became frightened and he began to sink. Now, I don't know how quickly he began to sink. You know, probably if they were to make a movie about this, you know, he'd have to be sinking rather slowly. Now he's, you know, covered, his ankles are covered. Uh-oh, now his calves are covered and he's slowly going down. Now his knees are covered. Now he's really starting to get, you know, frightful. It's up to his waist. And that gives him the time to cry out, "Lord, help!" Maybe he sunk much faster. Maybe all he had was, you know, the time to say, "Help, Lord!" But the Lord saved him. Reached out, lifted him up, and put him back in that boat. You see, one moment, he was about to perish. He was about to drown in the depths of the sea. And the next moment, he was safe in the boat. How grateful do you think Simon Peter was for the Lord saving his life? Don't you think that at that moment his life was changed? Now he had already resolved to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but now the Lord Jesus Christ had saved his life, had kept him from despair. And you can understand that he would as a result be thankful. Looking at another Old Testament account, how about Naaman, the Syrian? He perhaps already had a little bit to be thankful for, because even though he was a leper, he was put in charge of the army. But boy, when you don't have your health, everything else seems somewhat insignificant. And when he heard that there was a prophet in Samaria, he went to Samaria. And to make the long story short, he was healed of his leprosy. He just had to go dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And after he dipped himself that 7th time and he came up out of the water, his leprosy was gone. How do you think he felt after that day? Don't you get the impression that probably from that point forward, he was thankful? Because all he had known before was a life of disease. A life of limitations, a life of uncleanness, a life of laughs and scorn by the world. But now he was new. Now he was healed. And I can only imagine him from that day forward being thankful. Take a group of people. How about the people of Israel? God delivered them out of Egypt, and yet the Egyptian armies followed closely behind. And their intentions were to slaughter every Jew. But yet, what did God do? He parted the Red Sea. He allowed them time to cross safely to the other side. And when those armies followed behind, he destroyed them. And all the Jews were there on the shores on the other side watching this transpire. Don't you think that they would have been grateful for what God did for them? And again, I only give you these illustrations to help you understand how you should feel in light of the fact that God has saved you. Because if you're born again and you're saved, you know what? You are headed for eternal darkness. Not temporary darkness in the depths of the sea like Simon Peter, but you are headed for eternal darkness, separated from the very presence of God. You were destined for a place where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. You were headed for a place absent of mercy. And yet God, He saved you. Remember the attitude of the publican when the Holy Ghost demonstrated to him all of his sin? He couldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven, but he just smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, that's the attitude of people when they truly get born again. They see themselves as unworthy. They see themselves as nothing in light of the glorious God that created the universe. And yet they realize that when they called upon Him, He saved them. So if anybody in this world should be thankful, it should be the children of God. Because God saved us. And He's kept us from the horrors of hell. He spared us from the punishment that we justly deserve. And He's given us a home in heaven and much, much more. You know, there are numerous passages in the Bible that demonstrate the rarity of being thankful. In Proverbs 30, in verse number 11, it talks about a specific generation. It doesn't use the word thankful, but it says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." You could say that this is the opposite of being thankful. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, where it describes how the widows are to be cared for, the first instructions that it gives, the first point of responsibility is the children, you'll recall. And it says that one that won't care for his own family, is worse than an infidel. Because even they care for their family, even they care for their parents. And why would children come to a point where they care for their parents in their elderly years? Because they're grateful for their parents looking after them and taking care of them when they were young. You know, when you're a baby and you're an infant and you're a toddler, you can't take care of yourself. You're dependent upon your parents to take care of you. And even until the time that you're an adult, you're nearly incapable of providing for yourself financially or protecting yourself physically. And so your parents do that. And so when they reach a point in their lives because of their age that they can't do for themselves, the only right thing to do for a child who's grateful for their parents' treatment of them is to care for them. But the Bible says there is a generation. And don't think that it's just specifically talking about, you know, one 20-year period of time off in the future. Don't think it's just, you know, talking about the generation today and their lack of care for parents. No, there's people in every age who refuse to be thankful for the sacrifices of their parents. Romans 1:21, I know this is a passage most of us are familiar with, but you know, it highlights that one of the first steps of being turned over to a reprobate is being unthankful. In Romans 1, in verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Again, one of the first steps that people take in turning away from God is being unthankful. You know, you get down towards the end of this particular passage, and the behavior that's prevalent is homosexuality, where men have been turned over to a reprobate mind. They begin to think backwards. Well, how did that begin? What was one of the first steps that was taken? People weren't thankful. And again, not talking about being thankful to one another, but being thankful to an almighty Creator who made this earth in such a way in which we could inhabit it. You know, I love to watch documentaries about, you know, the world in which we live. I mentioned to the kids recently a documentary about the deepest place in the ocean. I think it was 6 or 7 miles deep. And you watch that documentary, and throughout it is all these references to evolution, the earth being billions of years old. I mean, you watch things about animals and about plants and about the amazing things that they do. And yet you hear very little reference to our Creator. Very little praise to the one who created these things. Now, we've long moved past the part of being unthankful. We're already to the end of this chapter, where homosexuality is rampant, but just as in a society as a whole, I mean. But just be careful in your own life that you don't get to a place where you're unthankful for the things that God has given to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 tell us that being unthankful is going to be one of the characteristics of the last times. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." And that word unthankful was put in there with a group of other things that we would consider quite horrible. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Listed with all those horrible things is being unthankful. You remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? He met them on his journey and he healed all 10 of them, and as they continued on and the lepers went their way, one of the lepers returned to give thanks. But only one. And Jesus asked the question, where are the 9? You know, his expectation was that each one of them would come back and be thankful. Again, all these passages simply highlight for us how rare it is to find someone who will be thankful to God for what he or she has. Let me stress again that God's people are to be distinct from the world around them. And our behavior is to be decidedly different. And our behavior is to be decidedly different in the ways that our text outlines for us. We're to be thankful. But then the next phrase I want to focus on in that passage is the phrase, the will of God. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This phrase or similar phrases are used repeatedly in the Scriptures, "for this is the will of God." 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish. So we know what God's will is in regards to salvation. He wants us all to be saved. Very clearly, that's God's will. Also found in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 4, in verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." There's no question about the fact that God wants us to be sanctified, set apart in a physical sense, in a sensual sense. As the verse goes on to say, that we should abstain from fornication. Multiple times in 1 Peter, in chapters 2, 3, and 4, it says that it's sometimes God's will that we suffer. And when we do suffer according to His will, He's glorified when we do it patiently. So sometimes it's the will of God that we suffer. And then in Romans chapter 12, we learn about God's will is that, well, we learn that God wants us to serve. that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So when you study this particular phrase and its usage in the Bible, you'll find that we can know specifically what God's will is concerning salvation, sanctification, suffering, and service. But here again, we find this phrase, the will of God. You know, some things are hard to discern God's will about. I mean, sometimes we're confused as to what God's will is. I mean, what does He want us to do with our lives after high school? That's the question that many of you are grappling with. What does God want me to do? Should I go to college? Should I not go to college? Should I get a trade? Should I not get a trade? Should I prepare for marriage? Should I stay at home? What should I do? And you don't know. Many of you will be faced with the decision as who to marry. And you won't know who to marry or how to find that right person. What do you do? Who's the right one? What is God's will? Others will question in what capacity the Lord would have them to serve, or maybe where the Lord would have you to serve. Sometimes discerning these things, discerning God's will in these areas, can be very difficult, can be very hard. And you know, we can spend a great deal of time trying to discern the Lord's will in unclear areas. But you know, let me give you a piece of advice. The first step in discerning God's will in these areas is doing what we clearly know He wants us to do. And rather than spending so much time trying to discern the Lord's will in unclear areas, let's just do what we know is His will. Like, in everything, give thanks. Like, rejoicing evermore. Like, pray without ceasing. All of these things are clearly the will of God. And we don't have to question it. So if we're trying to figure out the Lord's will in regards to something that He does not directly address in Scripture, let's first get busy doing those things that He does address. Because that's the kind of people that God reveals more of His will to. But He probably won't do that to us until we first surrender to what He's already revealed to us. But then notice the first part of the verse. It says, in everything, give thanks. Giving of thanks is to be made for everything, for all things, in all times, or I should say at all times. In Psalm 34, before even verse number 1, it gives this preface. It says, a psalm of David. So David is the author. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. You might remember that particular incident. David was afraid of what might happen in his encounter with Abimelech, so he changed his appearance, you know, and drooled down the side of his cheek and pretended like he was half crazy. So Abimelech would just let him go about his business. Why did David have to do this? Because David was on the run. He was on the run from King Saul. And please understand, God had already said to David that he would ascend to the throne. But by all appearances, that didn't look like it was going to happen. He was being chased. He was living in the wilderness. He didn't have a nice, cozy bed at night. He did not have his warm wife by his side. He didn't have someone baking his meals. And even if he wanted a drink, he had to find a brook. But yet, this is what he said in the first verse of that psalm. This is what he said under those kind of circumstances. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. It didn't matter to David that he was on the run. It didn't matter to him that his life was in jeopardy. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what David said. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, when it's exhorting us to be filled with the Spirit, it says, when we are filled with the Spirit, we'll be giving thanks always for all things unto God. You won't help but be thankful when you're filled with the Spirit of God. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Not only do I have to in everything give thanks, but I have to be thankful for every man. Of course, in this particular context, it's talking about offering up prayers and intercessions for those men. But it also says in giving of thanks and being thankful for them. How many of you could say, you know, I'm thankful for our current president. I don't see any hands going up. And I recognize that, you know, he truly is an enemy to historical, traditional America and historical, traditional, biblical Christianity. I understand that. But the Bible says to give thanks for all men. I've always found one thing that I could be thankful for in our president. Because unlike some of those that have gone before him that have been of the same persuasion, like the Clintons, this president truly is a family man. He's married to his wife, and it's not just for appearance's sake. And they have children that they truly care for. And you know, being America's first black president, he is setting a great precedent for the black community, which traditionally does not have a very strong family unit. So there are things to be thankful for, even in our current president. Hebrews 13:15 says, "But by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." You know, when you look at the Old Testament economy, people often offered gifts, sacrifices to God, but normally it was in the form of a dead animal or their first fruits or something of that sort. And again, that's what was required of them, to bring forth a blood sacrifice on the appointed times. We don't do that today. We don't offer those kinds of sacrifices or those kind of gifts. But what the New Testament does tell us is one of the gifts or sacrifices that we should be offering up is the fruit of our lips. Again, not the fruit of our cornfields, but the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Then this command is for you. And there's no uncertainty in the command. Clearly, it is the will of God that we give thanks in everything. This may not become naturally, but it does come naturally to the person who's filled with the Spirit of God. So you know what? We need to put this into practice. I sometimes make fun of the smiley face Christians, you know, who the only advice they ever offer up is put a smile on your face. Smile at somebody. It'll make their day, you know. And I make fun of them. But they want, have one part of biblical Christianity down, the part of rejoicing evermore, the part of giving thanks in everything. I wish sometimes they'd give thanks, you know, for the spiritual blessings, not just the earthly blessings. We need to be a thankful people. And by the way, you hear this message, I think it'd be good for us to do something about the message. You know, and give our own list of things to God that we're thankful for. You know, personally, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that the Lord has saved me. You know, I'm thankful for the direction that He's given to me after being saved. I'm thankful for Him totally transforming my life and pointing me in a different direction. Because as a result, you know, He's given me not only a wonderful, virtuous wife who supports me and who helps me and assists me, but He's given me wonderful children. Children who, you know, by all appearances, want to also serve the Lord and do what's right by Him. You know, children, according to the Bible, are not a burden, they're a blessing, and God has given us a quiver full of children, and for that I'm grateful, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this church. I know we can spend a lot of time, you know, bemoaning the fact that it's so small. But though it's small, I believe that Shepherdsville Baptist Church is a strong church. I believe it's a mature church. I believe it exists for the purpose of glorifying God. And that's not why a lot of churches exist. They're there for community. They're there for one another. They're there for, you know, help the struggling. But not those who are struggling spiritually, but those who are struggling in a physical sense. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my home church and how God has given me that assembly as my local assembly and how they have been stable throughout my entire life. I'm thankful that God has also given me parents who have stayed together and given me a stable environment, which no doubt has made a huge difference in my life. I'm thankful that even though I have to work outside of the church, God has given me a good job outside of the church. I'm thankful for my health. You know, I often have watched as others have not always had good health. If God didn't grant me good health, I don't know that I'd be able to pastor and work and take care of my family, but He has, and I'm thankful. Are you thankful for the things that God has given you in your life? Make sure you take some time this week, maybe this day, and tell God what you're thankful for. And don't stop there. Then tell somebody else what you're thankful for. And everywhere you go, give thanks to the Lord. I told you the story in the past, right, about Herb Hoover. He was the one preaching when I surrendered to the ministry back in March of 1997. Never forgot the little story that he told when he was in Walmart. I think he needed super glue. And so he went down the aisle with office supplies, and there was the super glue, and it said 2 for 1. And he said, "Praise the Lord." You know, he was an 80-year-old man. He used to say he'd jump up and click his heels together if he could. But praise the Lord. And some lady heard him say that. And because that lady heard him say that, she asked him, why did you praise the Lord? And so that gave him the opportunity to tell her. Tell her not only that God, you know, gave him a great special on super glue, but he was able to tell her why he praises the Lord for everything. As he is the author of all of our blessings and of every good gift. So let's just be reminded this morning to give thanks. To give thanks to the Lord in everything. Let's pray. Lord, we truly are thankful to Thee for what You've given to us. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, a gift that You sent to us. And You sent Him to die for our sins, that we might be spared the punishment that we justly deserve. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, might they do so today. And might this be reason for them to be eternally grateful to Thee. Lord, for those of us who are saved, may we never get over what You have done for us through Christ Jesus. But might we eternally be offering up praise to Thee and to Thy name for the gift of salvation. And Lord, help us to be thankful for everything else that You've given us in life. Those of us that You've given good health or good spouses or good children or good families to, help us to be grateful. Lord, if You've given us things, help us to be thankful for those things. Help us not to set our affections upon them, but help us to be grateful to Thee for what You have given to us. And Lord, as we offer up our praise and thanks to Thee, might we also be thankful outwardly towards all the people that we're around each and every day. And as a result, might people see that we are distinctly different from the rest of the world, and might they be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless in the message as it's went forth. Use it for Thy glory, and use it for the good of Thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 297, My Jesus, I Love Thee. 297.